many thanks to you.
You're welcome.
I want to say that Marcus Mabry from the New York Times is still with us this morning. Marcus?
Good morning.
Good morning. And did you watch television as a child?
I was raised by a single mom. I watched lots of television as a child.
Would you say that was your second parent?
Absolutely.
Well,
absolutely.
How many of you, including you, Marcus, did you grow up listening to this?
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine?
It's a neighbor. Marcus, that sound familiar to you?
Oh, we could all sing it, I bet.
Right, exactly. These days, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood is changing a bit. PBS has quietly announced the rollback of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood, a show that's been on the air across America for 40 years. Fred Rogers died in 2003. The show will still be available, but not every day, and in some cases only online. And that makes it not a good day in the neighborhood for a Mr. Rogers fan and parent of two, Brian Linder, who's on a mission to bring the show back. Welcome, Brian.
Hi, Adora. How are you?
You got your sweater and sneakers on?
You know, I don't. It's early for me, but maybe a little later this morning.
So you have girls in the house, children.
I have twin daughters.
And what's it like when Mr. Rogers comes on?
Well, it's a happy time for us. It's part of our morning routine. When we're done with breakfast, we all kind of settle into the living room and we'll watch the program together. And the girls, you know, they're not quite two, and so I'm not sure if they fully grasp everything that's going on, but when the music starts, the whole, you know, the intro that you just played, they'll run into the room and their eyes light up, and it's just, it's a trip. And I love to watch them watch it. And I'm learning a lot also watching it with them. And so it's sad for me to know that the program is, you know, being so heavily reduced.
And so that's why you launched this campaign. I mean, you have a Facebook group and a website, SaveMrRogers.com. That's a lot of effort.
Yeah, it's important, I feel like, to get the word out. When I first heard about it in late June, it was, I did some Googling and realized that there was just, you know, it had not been widely reported. So I thought, you know, we've got to put the word out on this. And so I started the Facebook group, which quickly sort of took on a life of its own. And as people began to sort of forward it around to all of their friends. And I thought, well, if we're going to do this legit, then I need to make a website, which we did, and have since really tried to put the word out and tell people what's about to happen. You know, there's a change coming, and here's what you can do if you want to still have the program in your neighborhood.
Okay, let's bring in Dade Hayes. He's author of Anytime Playdate, Inside the Preschool Entertainment Boom, or How Television Became My Baby's Best Friend. He's also an editor at Variety and a dad of a 5-year-old girl and a 17-month-old son. So, Dade, what do you think of Brian's crusade?
You know, I think it's a completely honorable and worthwhile one. I mean, I spent a couple of years delving into this world kind of from the business point of view and just kind of looking into how this world, you know, this $21 billion business of children's entertainment got created. And what I came away with was that Mr. Rogers, Fred Rogers, was absolutely at the center of it. So he's not only an innovator, but he was, you know, someone that was I had a personal connection with. And it's interesting, after, you know, showing some of the more modern programming to, you know, my kids, you know, I've actually gone back to Mr. Rogers and found that it still is remarkably effective. I mean, it still remains, you know, just as good, if not better, in today's landscape.
But, Dade, isn't there other children's programming out there now? Isn't there perhaps an opportunity here for children's programming to evolve?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, technology obviously has allowed it to evolve. Animation and all the different, you know, computer techniques that exist. You know, what was interesting about Mr. Rogers is that he popularized the idea of interactive television, you know, looking directly at the camera, you know, directly addressing the child, you know, which was a technique that had been around television but really had never been used in kids' TV the way he did it. So, I mean, it's true. There are newer ways to get messages across and newer ideas to explore, but there's just something very comforting about his take on the imagination, you know, the land of make-believe. I thought he was a really good guide, you know, through that.
But essentially, though, it's still available. the fact that they're scaling back on television doesn't mean that people can't get episodes online, satellite television, or through DVD. Right, Brian?
That's right. It's going to be pretty difficult, though, for people in some areas. There are a number of places where it's not going to be available at all on broadcast television. Of course, there are a few episodes on DVD. They haven't been in a hurry to release those for whatever reason. And the online distribution element, which is kind of the crux of PBS's formal response to us whenever we've written in the reassurances, well, hey, it's going to be available online. I believe it's going to be part of a subscription service, which mm-hmm. I feel like is not exactly fair to the people who may need it. And also, I sort of feel like that online video experience is just not quite what it needs to be.
But is that about your experience with it? Or is that about your children's experience? I mean, is there some nostalgia on your part that really doesn't have to do with your child's experience?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to deny that there's probably some nostalgia there because I did grow up on the show, and it was a big part of my early childhood development, I feel like. I was a pretty sensitive kid, and it helped me to kind of deal with and manage some of my emotions early on, I'm sure, although I don't think I processed it that way at the time.
But Brian Linder, we're going to have to leave it there.
Sounds good.
Brian Linder, creator of the website SaveMrRogers.com. And Dade, very quickly, do you think perhaps if people protest, it'll get more time on TV?
Well, that's worked in other arenas. You know, primetime shows have come back from the dead because of, protests. But I would say the kids' business is a faster-moving one. So, they're up against a big, they're climbing a big hill here.
Dade Hayes, thank you very much. Author of Anytime Playdate, Inside the Preschool Entertainment Boom, or How Television Became My Baby's Best Friend. Marcus Mabry, do you want Mr. Rogers to come back? Yes or no?
Absolutely.
Thank you very much. You joined us for the hour, editor at the New York Times, Marcus Mabry, and this is The Takeaway, and we're always on, and here's today's takeaway.
Agreements aren't agreements until they're agreed.
How do you like that? That's Stephen Farrell of the New York Times giving us his take on the U.S.-Iraq withdrawal timetable. We're waiting, waiting, waiting for Barack Obama's running mate. I'm Adora Udoji, and this is The Takeaway.